Okay, let's talk Gunung Padang. My name is Eric Graziano, and welcome to my channel, Ancient Epoch.
Well, hi, Eric. My name is Dan, a.k.a. Super Sexy D, a.k.a. that guy you talk to on Twitter. Welcome to my channel. How do you like them apples? It's getting all Inception up in here. No, you even know that was a good Will Hunting quote. I guess I should probably say hi to everybody else, too. Welcome to the dunking. Now, if you've watched me before, say you've gone to my channel and pressed the most popular video button, you may well have seen my video on Gunung Padang. And that was published about a month after Dr. Nadi Wajawa published his paper on Gunung Padang, the paper that's now been retracted, right? And before I made my video, I spent a lot of time asking archaeologists, geoarchaeologists, and geologists to help me dissect and discern the ups and downs of this evidence that was provided in the paper. Now, Eric from Ancient Epoch, he's somebody that I've followed for a very long time, and well, a year since I've been doing this stuff, basically. So that's a long time in my channel's history, and he's been following me the whole time as well. And one of the things that garnered a lot of respect from me, actually, was the way that he kind of put away the woo. As a matter of fact, he'll say it just like that. If you go look at his Twitter, you may well see him saying things like, I grew up and put away the woo. He looks for more mundane explanations, but he digs deep. And in this case, he kind of embarrassed me a little bit by finding some information that I missed. And generally speaking, that's what I try to do, is like when I look at a paper, I try to find the stuff that the academics that present these things to the public miss. And well, Eric caught something that I missed, so we're going to definitely have to see what he has to say about that, because, well, I got egg on my face, and so the only way to wipe it off is to do it on the shoulder of his shirt, I guess. So let's see what Eric has to say. Oh, one more thing. His whole evaluation of the site is presented as a response to the Flint Dibble Graham Hancock debate, so I like had to watch this.
This paper, as Graham mentioned, and its completely ignored supporting information document, is extensive. It takes multiple readings to digest and absorb, to which I fear many who encounter it could be easily overwhelmed, making offhand dismissals like Flint's and others easy to get away with.
Now, this paper is a tough read, like he says, but it has a supporting information document tucked away in it, and I'm embarrassed that I missed it, but he didn't. It seems like pretty much everybody else did, but Eric didn't, and that's a huge deal, because it has some really good photographs of the artifacts that were said to have been found at the site. Yeah, I know you probably think it was just the one artifact, but no, I said artifacts. Pretty big deal, man. Eric did some good work here.
Let's begin with the so-called Kujang Stone artifact. Firstly, anyone involved with the study of lithics would not make an assessment via an image. They look for the fingerprints of working the stone, as Joe put it, under a microscope. But since this is all we have to go by, I will proceed with an analysis of the artifact based upon the scientific criteria for determining a lithic, much like I did with the Homo naledi stone tool from the documentary Unknown Cave of Bones.
Now, this Kajang stone, this is something that I fixated on really quickly when I first saw the paper, and it was the first thing that I started asking a lot of academics on Twitter about. Here's what I had to say about it when I made the video. And this Kajang stone thing, I posted that on Twitter and asked some archaeologists and some geologists about it, and the consensus was overwhelming that's just a regular old rock. There's no signs of it being shaped by people. It's unique. It's shaped kind of cool, but there's no signs of it being shaped by humans, and it's not the kind of thing that geology could not produce or hasn't produced in the past. But rather than wasting a bunch of time asking academics on Twitter like I did, Eric just dug into the supporting information document and applied the standards that are generally used to determine if a tool or a stone is a lithic or not. A lithic being archaeogenese for a stone that was worked by human hands, usually a tool, but oftentimes discarded pieces of a tool, a stone that's been carved on, a stone that was worked by humans.
To Flint's point that it doesn't look like any stone tool that he's ever seen, I can safely assume he's referring to stone tools like these that clearly display flaking. But there are other tools in prehistoric sites that don't display this flaking, such as this tool from a prehistoric site from the Ukraine dating to 1.4 million years ago. Looking at this tool, there is some key similarities to the Kujang stone, and that is its ergonomic shape. Utilizing this image, which gives the artifact scale, I printed out a version for myself to test how its ergonomic shape potentially would fit a human hand. and I must say it fit beautifully, as you can see. I use this image to illustrate the grip classification on my first slide for my lithic presentation. So let's begin. Lithic Criteria 1, Morphology. The artifact is made from stone. It displays an ergonomic shape, allowing for a left-handed hammer grip hold. Criteria 2, Topology. Does the artifact compare to any known man-made object on record within a relatively similar time period? And I believe it does with this so-called worked stone from the Smithsonian National Museum of the American Indian, to which I'll provide the link to. The Smithsonian artifact displays the same ridgeline along with visible concave cuts. I also would like to add that both of these objects are ground and or polished, hence why there are no visible biface flaking marks. Criteria 3, flint knapping techniques. I'll be honest, the object is rife with them. You can see multiple ridges, multiple bulbs of percussion, multiple bulb angles. Also, in this high-resolution image, you can see what's referred to as fissures. These are key fingerprints of knapping a stone. This artifact clearly illustrates plenty of features to be considered man-made.
This is pretty interesting, even compelling to a degree, because the fact is that everywhere I've seen people cover this, it's been the same crappy images that have been covered, except for a few Indonesian people that Eric himself has posted links to their videos. And I have to point out here that I asked Flint, he's one of the people that I asked about this, and he wasn't aware of the Kajang stone before I brought it up. And so I may well be responsible, because all I knew was that shitty image from the poster. It may well be my fault that Flint is going around saying that all there is a crappy image, because I'm the one that told him all I could find was that, because I couldn't find that supporting information document that Eric found, because I missed it. Again, egg on Dan's face. What do you do? But beyond the whole thing there, there's the Kajang stone doesn't... It looks like the Kajang dagger, okay? And the Kajang dagger doesn't show up on the record for way, 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 way later. And the similarities that they point out, one of the things that the skeptics will point out is that, you know, that this is coincidental. The Kajang dagger has nothing to do with this rock. But I'll let Eric say what he has to think about that.
It is my hypothesis that the Kajang stone artifact was a talisman used thousands of years ago for purposes unknown to us today.
Now, see, that seems pretty reasonable to me. You know, this shape being like a talisman on this stone, and that shape eventually evolving into a talismanic dagger down the road. But I said artifacts earlier, and I'm only talking about the Kajang stone that everybody who's looked into this knows is the one artifact that they seem to have found, right? No. Eric helped me out there.
And as I've shown during the course of this video, artifacts were presented in the article, including, but not exclusively, the Kajang stone artifact. But to counter Flint's claim, seeing as he disputes the Kajang stone and presumably never reviewed the supporting document or conveniently isn't mentioning it, I'm going to talk about these two artifacts shown here, found in the Echo 2 Trench, located on Terrace 5. Because much like the Kajang stone artifact, I found a nearly identical man-made artifact in the historical record. The artifact, referred to as a large grooved stone, found in Greene County, New York in 1952, dates to as far back as 5,000 years before present, and its documented source is the Smithsonian National Museum of the American Indian.
Now, this is really interesting to me. I believe I might have seen those stones when I looked at the original paper, but because of the low-resolution images, they just kind of look like communion wafers or round rocks. I didn't know what to make of them. But thanks to Eric digging up that information that I should have found, or that Flint should have found, or 101 other people who looked at this paper should have found, but thanks to Eric digging it up and holding it up and saying, hey guys, look at this, we have pretty good information, pretty good evidence that maybe these are artifacts. Now, I'm not as convinced on these as the Kajang stone seems more compelling to me than these do. However, these are still, I mean, it's the kind of thing, an anchor or like a stone to grab onto something, or if you want to throw a vine a long way, you tie it around a rock, and there's a nice little groove right there that was potentially carved to do just that. So anyway, it's interesting to me. It's compelling. It's not as compelling as the Kajang stone, and it brings me to basically the same point that I made in my first video. We need better and more work done here. We need unbiased archaeologists to go evaluate these artifacts and to not do it just through crappy low-res images and because some dumbass asks them to. They should probably actually evaluate them a little bit better. We should probably send somebody out to do it. We should probably have some of those screen sifters out there. And I complained about this stuff before. Here, I'll go ahead and show you my clip. There's no, besides that Kajang stone, there's no lithics. There's no stones. There's no beads. There's no arrowheads. There's no burnt rocks. There's no burnt bones. There's no carcasses. There's no corpses. There's nothing. And the reason is, we know the site had human occupation, so why? Why is that? Because this wasn't an archaeological expedition, despite the fact that it's being couched as an archaeological expedition. It's a fucking geological thing, man. The one archaeology that went along with the Ali Akbar dude that was on the Netflix special as well is either new to this or just sucks, because I'm a layman, and I can see that archaeologists do this thing, right? You see these pictures here of what they do? They sift dirt with screens, and the dirt comes out, and on top of the screen, you'll find arrowheads and shit like that, right? None of that happened at this site. And you know why none of that happened? It was because when they went all balls in going, we're going to dig this thing up, they tore big gash in the side of it with a bunch of people out there with shovels that were not, like, setting up any kind of, like, who cares about stratification, how deep this is? Just dig a hole, throw the dirt in a pile, get down as deep as we can and, like, look at some rocks. And, yes, I still included pictures of the archaeologists that I don't get along with anymore. You know, just because I find them bad faith actors in the debate sphere, that doesn't mean that I think that they're not good at shaking a screen and pulling an arrowhead out of the dirt. I think they're perfectly good at the things they were trained to do. They should just stay in the fucking lane. But anyway, I was pretty scathing when I was talking about, like, the archaeology that should have been done at the site and that wasn't, and in that clip that I just showed a minute ago. But there is a reason for that, really. This whole gap that is left in the knowledge has given us basically two serious problems. Number one, the lack of minor things, the lack of ash and bone and lithics and all that stuff. We just have a couple of stone things that may or may not be tools. That causes a serious problem because it allows skeptics to just dismiss all of this. Well, there's nothing we should find there. Well, we didn't shake any screens there, so we wouldn't find it, but we didn't find it so they can dismiss it. And that's a problem in my opinion. But the other problem is that it leaves a gap in the knowledge that's big enough that, well, you could literally drive a lost civilization through the damn thing now, couldn't you? I mean, there is so much information that's missing in there that you could, we've got a little bit and then these big holes. So I think that we need to get some people out there to shake some screens. Now, basically, Eric offered up something kind of unique here. I mean, despite the fact that it's embarrassing to long-haired electricians on the YouTubes, he found something that a lot of people missed, and it is very, very pertinent data. And potentially mind-changing data. Did it change Dan's mind? Well, yeah, I'm not all of a sudden on board with Gnong Padang being a 25,000-year-old pyramid, but I had dismissed that possibility before. And after looking at this, I am back to the, we need more freaking work done before we can say whether or not that's out or not. And that me feeling that way is straight up comes from the information that I got from Eric and his video. And it's from the paper, but again, it's shit that I missed and a lot of other people missed. Dr. Nadia Wajawa, if you make another paper in the near future, make it more fucking easy to navigate. That way all of your data gets, like, shown and it can't be just ignored or buried. Because, man, I tried. I was trying to give your paper a fair shake. I couldn't find a damn thing. Now, Eric's video goes into a whole lot more than just the artifacts. He basically covers everything that was discussed about Gnong Padang in the debate. So it's definitely worth watching. It's like a 45-minute video, and I've covered just like 3 or 4 minutes of it. So there's plenty more. Links down below. Go check it out. Give the dude a sub and all that fancy crap, blah, blah, blah. But I want to thank my patrons. I want to thank the people that watch this. I want to thank all of you for, you know, you bear with me while I go back and forth on things like this, right? I mean, you might have just watched my Gnong Padang video and been like, man, that's pretty base take on it. And then you watch this and you're like, well, holy shit, that's a pretty unbased take on it, or vice versa. And, you know, that's just kind of how I roll. I find new information. I find new data. I look into it. I present it. And here we are. So stay tuned next week. Maybe I'll change my opinion on something else. Thank you very much and have a good night.